The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in a terribly unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, Professor Oljar from the Department of Philosophy.
Good to be here on the last day of classes.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
About which I am so glad, although I now have 120 papers to grade.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
Does it help?
Yeah, actually, that would be super
careful.
Awesome.
Be careful.
Then I'll be done in 5 minutes. Oh, you want an
accurate
grade?
Oh,
let me just say, Beth, B minus is a handy grade.
I agree. Actually.
What is a B minus?
B minus. I'm just saying, if you've got to give one grade to everybody, you make it a B minus. Professor Tubbs, your laughter fills my ears.
Totally unrehearsed hello.
Professor Maggio, we've already heard your voice, yes. So I'm skipping over you.
Hey!
I'm kidding.
I just want to say go Wings, although I have a feeling I'll be crying tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to start calling you Shirley.
Well, I'll tell you what, your cries will not be falling on deaf ears because I think that Sidney Crosby will soon be crying a lot.
Yeah, they're
which is great news.
No tears,
that's
no
great
tears.
News. Yeah. Great news. I was talking to a conference call, actually, with 25 people the other day and made a joke about the Wings exit will be quick. And the only thing that makes us feel better is that Sidney Crosby's crying himself to sleep. And then the professor from Duquesne, who was on the phone, was like, excuse me? And I was like, oh, I mean.
I have to say, on the part of both teams, that game on Sunday was grotesque.
No.
It was a fight. There was very little hockey game thrown in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So you went to the fight and the hockey game didn't really break out?
Right, or watched.
Wow. Professor Roach, good to have you here.
It's good to be here, Matt, although I'm quite offended that
you said I was...
We
didn't say anything about the Steelers.
Unrehearsed. I unrehearse pretty well. I don't unrehearse that horribly.
We've had this discussion before. You're not actually a Penguins fan. Or are you a Penguins fan?
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of,
lukewarm.
Okay. But I kind of root for the Red Wings, too.
All right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you either, but I think the person I was on the conference call with really was offended. I'm like, sorry you lost your first three games.
Two.
Of course, they really won their fourth game.
Yes, 10-3 is not
it's a football score.
Professor Chow, how are you doing?
Pleasure to be here. I'm actually cringing for my family in Vancouver. If they lose tonight, what's going to happen to that poor city?
Oh my!
Think they'll
pull out?
You never know.
Oh man!
I know my cousins are on standby, just in case.
Ladies and gentlemen, send us questions or comments as to how to fix the NHL. Anything you have to say will be better than what the commissioner has to say. He'd say, although maybe not Brendan Shanahan.
I don't know. He screwed up that one suspension.
They can't get a TV contract to save their lives. We're non-regional, but we are regional.
Didn't they just get NBC
for the upper level playoffs.
That's awful.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. This is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything, even National Hockey League hockey. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. Or send the questions old-fashioned, USPS to College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. In, what is it, the smoke signals, we are Puff Puff Wisp.
Hey, okay. The U.S. Postal Service deserves, serious props, actually.
All right, they do, because they are surviving against insurmountable odds.
And I thought... It was funded in part by tax dollars. I didn't know that it was postage.
I think it's an independent organization.
Yeah, they're not taxpayer dollars. Do not
run by
do
the
anything
government.
To support the
It's constitutionally
the post
mandated.
Yes, it is, actually. However, I still get the feeling in the next 10 years it will not exist anymore.
Which is terrible.
Just, yeah, I know.
I mean, what will that do for rural... I mean, people who live in rural areas or get all their medications by the post office? I mean... Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's bringing about the downfall of the USPS could be demonstrated by you, Professor Maggio, if you want to talk for a couple seconds about the Ask the Professor app that we're working on right now.
I forgot my speech.
Rehearse.
In an attempt to bring the show into the 21st century, and also because we have dozens of fans out there who might actually own a smartphone, I've been working with a student on campus, Brandon Herzog.
Woo!
He already has a job where I would try to get him a job.
He's a senior math major.
He's a senior math computer science major, and he wrote an app for the Droid for Ask the Professors. You can stream episodes of Ask the Professor. Not available on the iPhone, sorry. So that's going to be available hopefully within the next couple of months.
Can people submit questions on that?
No.
Not yet?
That'll be Generation 2.
Okay.
But we have to find another student to do that. So for right now, it'll give you a list of the episodes. You click your favorite episode. Well, it would be nice if they're faces of the people who were actually on the panel that day.
Oh, I don't think
so. Can kind
of
No.
You can filter. I want all the Kathy Bush episodes. And then, so anyway, it's very simple.
Well, we'll let folks know on the website because we're going to go into our off-season soon. And stay tuned.
We have an off-season?
We'll let you know for sure.
I never knew we had an on-season.
We usually just put you in a box and chloroform you.
Chloroform me.
Thankfully, we're giving you an hour this week.
All right, so
I can only afford so much.
We have some questions from Mark Neymark of Paris, France. I believe I got through his name before our last episode ended. Presidential visits are in the news, profs. Here are some questions about international travel by U.S. presidents. 10 questions, 7 of 10 is a win. So question number one, Barack Obama made his first trip as president of the United States to which country? I can tell you it was February 2009.
Canada?
Canada is the answer. Of course, our Canadian respondent with plastic money lets us know all about that. Obama's third, foreign trip was for a NATO summit in April 2009. Unusually, the summit took place in two countries. One was France. Which was the other? That narrows it down.
The United States?
Germany.
No, nope, it was Germany. Just across the Rhine. Basically, Kell, Germany, is the Windsor to Strasbourg, France's Detroit. So they went back and forth. And they were there. No papers. From 5 to 7 June 2009, Obama was in France. Why?
Hanging out with Mark? No.
He was not hanging out with Mark.
Shopping?
Shoplifting.
It didn't say what did he do.
He's trying to get rid of Joe.
What was it, an anniversary of D-Day?
It was the 65th anniversary of D-Day, absolutely. 5 to 7 of June, 2009, yes.
I shouldn't get rid of him. He's good.
As long as he doesn't talk.
I kind of enjoy it when he
does. When he made his...
I'm sure the White House cringes every time they give him a mic.
Of course, he's also smarter than anybody in the White House, so that helps.
Possibly.
Too. Well, when he made his acceptance speech for the vice presidential nomination. And when he was making the speech at some point, he was talking about, I think, the foreign policy of the Bush administration. And he just looked up and he goes, "Do you remember when people used to trust us, folks?" Like, only Joe Biden would have put it that way. He's like Bruce Springsteen of politics or something.
Oh, my. Well, what was President Obama doing in Copenhagen in October of 2009? Think just a little bit about the city and the time here, and you might be able to figure it out. He was there because he had to lobby for something.
Oh, he was trying to get the Olympics to come here?
To go to Chicago
in 2016. That's right. I'm trying to remember. I don't think that worked out for
you guys. He wasn't there to meet up with the Little Mermaid.
Where is it going to be, 2016?
Brazil.
Okay. So, yeah, we got London coming up in a number of
99
weeks.
Days or something.
That's right. Olympics.
I'm not sure.
Summer Olympics are the best.
Why they would think that Chicago would make a good home for the Summer Olympics. I don't see it at all.
I don't know, but I know a lot of Britons who are really dreading the London Olympics. That's a really densely populated area in London, and thinking sports stadiums and hundreds of thousands of extra people. I mean, people who live in London aren't allowed to own cars anymore.
They're leaving.
They did it in Beijing and Athens and Sydney.
Well, they did it in Beijing, but there was like on the outskirts where they could do some building and, I don't know.
Seoul might be a better analogy.
Seoul was a good one.
Did you guys ever see the Detroit Windsor proposal for the Olympics?
No.
It was back in like the late 60s,
70s. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be very.
Kathy
There's
about
no ones. Transportation system in Detroit.
Detroit was the finalist for the 1968 Olympics.
Yeah. But the thing How was, people it was get,
oh, well. Back then,
to be Detroit and Windsor. It's going to be international.
Right. And 68. Like
68 was Mexico City.
City burned down.
Well, they made a decision years before the riot.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah. And the legend goes, the Wayne State football stadium was built to show how quickly we could build something of that size in preparation. And it was between Detroit and Mexico City for the 68 Olympics.
Really?
The city would have gone in a very different direction if we had won those Olympics.
Because I remember Kathy mentioned something about the pools or something like that. Some were still marked in meters.
Mm-hmm. Some pools downtown. Yeah, I know what you mean. Hmm. Only one country has received a state visit from President Obama. So that's official, right? Which one? It was May 2011, just a year ago.
May 20th.
Australia?
No, it wasn't Australia.
Japan?
Probably our greatest ally.
Israel?
The Brits? The cousins?
Yes, it was the United Kingdom.
Oh, United Kingdom.
I don't think he likes the British.
Obama?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Does anybody really like the British?
I think, well, right. I think he thinks they're sort of too stuffy and formal and...
And they didn't invite him to the wedding.
They are.
Yeah, right.
I remember Michelle got pretty cozy with the Queen and caused quite a stir in the British
press. Well, in the miniseries John Adams, there's a scene where Adams goes to Paris because Jefferson is in Paris and they're trying to get the French to help us win the revolution, which, of course, they ultimately did. But Adams is sort of seeing this, you know, the pomp and circumstance and frou-frou and formality of the French. And as an American, he's just like, what? You can see this absolute disconnect on his face, not understanding sort of this whole culture. That's how Obama seems to me to be with the British. I mean, he just...
That's something that I think we could keep about America. We don't really put on airs that much, you know? We're loud and obnoxious, and we use a lot of energy.
We don't bow
to
people. Until there's a state funeral.
No, until there's a state funeral. That's true. And this was a state visit, so maybe that's the only reason they could get him to stand up straight and walk after the Queen. And
I think Michelle had a better time than he did, because she got on great with the Queen. And
very interesting. Very interesting. Why was President Obama just recently in Colombia? I think they mean the end of 2011.
Because he was he was there just recently and asked about drug legalization.
That's true.
Is there anything the United States could do?
Yes.
Or what have countries in Central and South America done?
To diminish the demand.
That's right. So he's in Colombia, but remember what it's called?
It's for a free trade agreement.
There's only been a few of these.
What's up, the hash bash?
No. It was the sixth. It was the sixth summit for the Americas, which is a semi-recent sort of thing. It's like the Western Hemisphere G8, you know.
Right. Hey, the president gets stuck with going to a lot of meetings.
It's a lot of meetings. Boy, a lot of meetings.
Sounds like academia.
I mean, yeah, come on. We're
worse than department chairs.
Don't forget, this isn't just Olympic year. It's an election year. So I'm making a gun motion to my head right now. And I've already seen President Obama, just like the 3, 4, 5 men before him, basically almost completely go gray. I cannot imagine what that office does to you. It just sucks the life right out of you.
Unless you're Nixon, in which case you get younger.
And as we think about that, Benjamin Button, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
We are taking a break.
Let's simply push the fact that
we are at Tom's Tavern at 10093 West 7 Mile in Detroit, Michigan. And it is a great neighborhood tavern. It's been here since 1928. And it's still going strong. It has a wonderful ambiance.
Warm, friendly, intimate.
You name it.
Intimate is the operative word.
What else can we add?
Tilted floors.
White
tilted
floors. Cloths.
That's right. That's right.
Last joint.
They don't have matchbooks. That's the only deficit that I see.
They have
their names
just out today.
And they don't revolve. You do.
That's right.
This thing does not revolve.
So remember, Tom's Tavern. When you're thirsty, when you're hungry, when you're lonely, whatever. Tom's Tavern.
And normally those go together.
Well, speak for yourself anyway.
Right. When you really need a date. Yeah.
Where desperate people gather.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh, they've been here since before 1900.
Really?
This building has been standing here?
They've had one owner since 1926 to 1991.
It was a stagecoach stop.
That is marvelous.
Wow. And it was still serving liquor during Prohibition, right?
Up behind.
Yeah, up behind.
In the castle.
That was
the only way to do
be.
It.
All right.
Yay. Thank you very much.
This is an institution that knew there was a higher law.
Yes.
That I don't know.
That's the Jesuit tradition.
And we are back, listening to the dulcet tones of many professors past. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift.
And Dan.
Thanks, Michael. And Dan. Oh, yeah. And Dan.
Not Dan.
We got some questions from Mark Neymark of Paris, France, about presidential visits. So we'll keep going with those. Which country has President Obama visited the most often? As president.
President. Did you just say President Obama Bobama?
No. I had to repeat to myself.
Oh, okay.
I believe I said Obama.
But he visited the most?
Okay.
One more time. Which country has President Obama visited the most as president? With four official visits.
The United States.
Germany.
Oh.
Neither of those.
Oh, darn.
The United States.
France?
It's France. Yes.
Oh, I think that's France. Pretty safe. I said Germany.
Safe to
the other
say.
Side of the river.
One of the other countries that's in at least as much trouble as we are, probably more financially. Which post-World War II president has made the most official trips?
Reagan?
You know, it wasn't Reagan, Nixon? But you're in the right era. It wasn't Nixon.
Carter? Wait, there's only one President Reagan in the Reagan era.
You're in the right...
Bush 1?
George H.W.
Bush.
Right.
Bush 41?
No, it was not.
Clinton.
Not. It was Bill Clinton. And this is pretty. Oh. This is some good numbers. This is some cocktail conversation starter right here. Clinton with 133 official visits compared to another recent two-term president, George W. Bush, who made only 47.
Well, you know, people throw shoes at him when he...
It's true. It's true. And now I'm wondering, you know, after all this stuff coming out with the GSA and the Secret Service, what Clinton was doing.
They all liked to get around.
He knew how to take it
out. It was for carry out.
At least he paid the bill.
Yeah. Well, that's something like that. Something like that. Sign off on this, sir. Can do. Which two countries received the only state visits that George W. Bush gave? One's the same as before.
Britain. England.
Is England, yep, the UK, and another European country.
Germany.
A very, very large European country by land area, not Germany.
Poland?
Poland was the other one, interestingly.
That makes sense.
Trying to remember why that was important at the time, but it was just so long, it's in the memory hole.
Well, I'm sure it was in Britain when Tony Blair was...
Right. They were buddies, right?
Oh, the cartoon Little Bush had this hilarious episode where Little Bush met little Tony Blair, and he says, I like the way you talk. Where are you from? Narnia?
Oh, my. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Last question, and honestly, I think we've only gotten one. We couldn't get the one of the Summit of the Americas, but let's see if we can do this one. Who is the first sitting president to make an official trip abroad, and where did he go? You don't have to think too far about this, actually, because it's something that he had some serious... hand in and interest in.
First sitting president,
Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy
Roosevelt.
The Panama Canal?
He went to the Panama Canal in 1906.
Well, after he got it turned into the Panama Canal.
Right, exactly. So he had...
so no other president
after it was no longer Colombia.
No, official visits. So when it's announced that the president is going somewhere...
Yeah. State visit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal because it was just in the paper the other day how... these troops were in Afghanistan, and suddenly Governor Schneider was there. They just appear sometimes.
And
our governor went to Afghanistan?
He went and met with some Michigan soldiers or something. You know,
he wanted to see if there's anything he could do for the Michigan soldiers.
What other people's lives he could mess up?
He's going to give...
I'm done messing up Michigan. Let's try Afghanistan.
He's going to allow them to take off their helmets when they...
There's going to be an emergency
manager. Yes, indeed. Yes.
You know, the national media is not... The only person who's done any coverage on that I've seen about what he's doing in Michigan is Rachel Maddow. Yeah. She's done a lot of stories on...
Yeah. And I don't mind the passing the law
complete loss of democracy.
You don't have to wear a helmet. But at the same time, you should have to sign a waiver that says, if I'm not wearing my helmet, I decline any and
taxpayer. Well, that's the problem. We're the only state that has unlimited lifetime rehab services. This is going to cost us all big time.
Yeah, well, it'll cost us a lot.
You should sign your rights away.
I saw this motorcycle whizzing in and out between traffic on 75 the other day.
Lovely.
My dissertation director was on the National Organ Transplant Task Force back in the 80s, and he told me that the transplant surgeons who were on that national commission had their own kind of language. They had their own sort of shortcut terms, but none of them ever used the word motorcycle. It was a donor cycle.
Ooh.
Ouch.
That is bad.
You're not required to wear a helmet?
No longer as of last week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind if you don't want to wear one. We shouldn't force you to, but you should not have the right to insurance or certainly taxpayer-funded health care.
Okay, so we've got some questions here.
Could I just go back to one more question about state visits? For a state visit, it's more formal. Does that mean all the professors have to wear regalia?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At least you totally
agree. And I get free keychains?
No.
That never hurts.
Right. I'm just going to put it out there. Someone was like, da-da-da-da-da, and everybody got a free keychain. I'm like, I didn't get a free keychain. I didn't even know there were
any. At the inauguration?
We just inaugurated our 25th president.
Woo!
Here at UDM. And after he left Callahan Hall, the clock tower rang 25 times for each man on the Edmund Fitz... No, I'm...
Church.
It was because he's the 25th president.
Each man or woman.
It was just, I was being funny. It's
I just
a bad
I'm protecting the show. I don't want any flack.
Neither does the president.
Blowback. Okay, let's take on some questions here from Anonymous. I'll pretend that they're from my new favorite band name from the local area. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.
Yes, I am.
Which is a very interesting local band. So we'll pretend like they sent us some questions.
Named after Dale.
Junior.
Junior. I don't know if you guys have seen their new video, but it's pretty sweet. We Almost Lost Detroit is really, really good. Just a remake of the, was it Gil Heron, right? Song from the 70s, and they drive all around the city, and people are singing with them. And people should know that history anyway about the Fermi nuclear power, the breeder reactor. We'll catch up with it some other time. Send us some questions about nuclear power, folks. We'll talk.
Nuclear.
Yeah, nuclear power. Profs, what ology is devoted to the study of poison?
Toxology.
Toxicology.
Absolutely. Toxicology. You've got it. Let's see here. What bird's young appear on menus listed as squab?
Pigeon.
Yeah, it's pigeon.
Yeah.
For those who... Professor Tubbs' face says it all. He was very depressed to hear that people eat pigeon. Very, very depressed.
We like to think of a city chicken.
Oh, my word.
They're like rats.
Oh, my word.
That's right.
What four-word phrase is chiseled into the steps of the mausoleum where Jackie Gleason is buried?
Jackie Gleason is buried here?
Here we go.
Yeah.
And away we go.
And away we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see
and
here.
And Dan's counting down the words and the syllables, right?
Sorry.
No, I'm stretching my fingers.
Oh, okay.
We'll go to Beth's Nick of the Woods and say, what Seattle band sounded off with the uplifting ditties Fell on Black Days, Black Hole Sun, and Like Suicide?
Nirvana?
No, it was not Nirvana, actually. Soon following Nirvana.
Soundgarden?
Soundgarden, yeah, absolutely.
My next Seattle. Yes. I was not into grunge when it was, even though I was living in Seattle at the height of the grunge phase and when Kurt killed himself. And...
Did you feel the glow of that movement all around the city, though? Or was it just overestimated? It was there.
But my reaction was like, you know, there are people who actually know how to play guitars, you know, people like Eric Clapton. This is what happens when the instruments are actually being played by people who know how to play them.
Oh, the purest among us.
Instead of just making
you're the one corrupting our youth these days. Oh, my gosh.
My appreciation for Nirvana has grown a little bit as the years have gone by.
What's your appreciation for Courtney Love's Twitter announcements?
Oh,
I'm joking.
Not...
They're horrible. You don't ever go read her Twitter account. She apologizes, apparently, to her daughter in the public eye, saying horrible things about the way
she has some talent. She was actually really good in The People versus Larry Flint.
I think she had some talent. I don't know.
Well, that could...
squandered it, and then Lord knows why.
Profs, what does dry ice become after it sublimates?
A gas.
Carbon dioxide.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is the one element that sublimates without going through a liquid state? Goes from a solid to a gas.
It goes directly from a solid to a gas.
Manta doesn't have his upside down periodic table t-shirt.
Are you talking about bromine?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Iodine?
Oh, okay, iodine. Yeah, sure. Very good. Very good.
Something chemistry.
Whoa.
Weird chemistry fact that has stuck in my head forever.
That's awesome.
In a solid form, what does iodine look like?
It's like dark purple crystals. And they do. They go directly into a gas. If you just leave them out, they disappear, just like dry ice. Mm-hmm.
If you don't turn them into tincture of ice.
Yeah, no tinctures. No tinctures. No NI3.
I'm just thinking cocktails.
Here's one that I think will go in Professor Roach's direction. What football league fielded only 6 teams, but in 2000 called its championship the World Bowl?
6 teams, the XFL?
No, it wasn't the XFL.
Not the Lingerie Bowl.
The Canadian Football League?
Was it the World League of American Football?
It was the World League. Europe is what they called it at the time. Gotcha. Yeah, so I just think that's interesting. I remember it being around. It was like on the heels of XFL, and then it was gone within
Was it XFL? Was the Vince McMahon?
That
thing,
was the
right?
Vince McMahon. Yeah, that was the WWE. The
yep.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of other very dangerous rules.
Is it like the Arena Football League?
No.
It's where players had names on their backs like, he hate me.
Yeah. They could put whatever they wanted on their uniforms. Yeah. What was used to make Saturday Night Live's Mr. Bill character?
Plato.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Mr. Bill.
We've hit Socrates and Plato in the same show. I'm sure you're not.
That's Mr. right. When you're, I actually have a cartoon on my door that said, so you majored in philosophy and now you're running a daycare center, and the next frame says, yep, from Plato to Play-Doh.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And props. I didn't do that cartoon. I didn't.
What board game did Time Magazine show being shipped from Amazon.com to its delivery point in the 1999 cover story on the beginning of e-commerce?
Scrabble.
Was not Scrabble.
No. Trivial Pursuit.
It was Trivial Pursuit. Nice. Yes, it was. Well done. Well done. Absolutely. Let's see here.
Wonder why that question was posed.
In the 1870s, a certain kind of animal was clothed and displayed in the Philadelphia Zoo eating with silverware and formal dinner table. What animal was it?
Chimpanzee.
They were chimps. Yeah, in the 1870s. That's pre-TV, folks. Yep. I don't know what to tell you. That's
you actually had to buy a ticket to go see it.
Did you really?
I didn't.
Why were you there? You were there.
If it was before TV, I'm assuming that would have been the case.
And Jane Goodall was still, she was on Jon Stewart the other night. Drew's like, I thought she was dead.
No, she's still alive and kicking.
She doesn't have a big sense of humor.
Well, she's a science geek.
John was
no offense.
Protecting animals.
I know. Jeez. Thanks a lot.
All right, philosophy
there are people
nerd.
Who are notable exceptions to that sweeping generalization, and our beloved moderator would be one of them.
What single word graced a sign on IBM founder Thomas Watson's desk? Remember the original IBM branding?
Blue?
Not blue. Not blue.
Microsoft.
It was Watson? A verb.
Think?
Think is what it said. Yes, think. Absolutely. What New York City borough did Posh Spice name her first baby after?
Staten Island.
Queens.
Brooklyn.
Queens.
Brooklyn. Staten Island. Oh, everybody's seen the commercial now
Manhattan?
Where the girl is working at Burger King and David Beckham comes up to order a Whopper or whatever. And she's all like, oh, he's so dreamy.
He wants the strawberry orange.
Yeah, because they got
whatever.
Smoothies.
Strawberry peach smoothie.
Yeah. It was Brooklyn, right?
It was Brooklyn. No,
you
Staten Island would have been better.
Yeah, it's not Staten Island. Not many people name their kids Staten Island. Yeah.
What 34-year-old former Olympic gold winner got hitched to U.S. gymnast Bart Conner in 1996?
Nadia Comaneci.
Nadia Comaneci, absolutely. Yep.
Trying to get the name out.
And that is going to get us straight to the bell. Professor Hokett.
Adios. Have a good day.
Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Have a great weekend.
Professor Maggio.
Au revoir.
Professor Roach.
Later, dudes.
Professor Chow.
Roach. Oh, wait a minute.
Now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.